everyone, and welcome back to the Punts for the Premier League Winter Break Part 2. We've got a busy show this week with no fewer than 6 Premier League games to get stuck into. There's more from Derek McGovern, who gives us a unique take on the week's action. Plus, Pete, Gav and Al return to point you in the direction of the best bets in the Football League. And Robbie Savage gives us his mid-season, end-of-season prediction for the bottom 6. But first up is the Friday night game between the Wolves and the Foxes. So it's over to Lee Phelps and Alex Dunn for this one.
Thanks, Emma. Premier League weekend. Supposed to be a winter break, but we've got 6 live games to preview. That's more than we normally do, Alex.
It's great, isn't it? It's an absolute treat. I thought last week would be good. It wasn't so good, really. We had one game off. We only had 3 games on. But we've got 6 on telly across 4 days. I'm looking forward to sitting down and watching it all.
Nice. Friday Night Lights then. We've got the Wolves versus the Foxes. Long-term listeners to the Punt podcast will know that in the old days, one of my least successful betting strategies, and it's a pretty low bar, was comparing the animals linked to the clubs in a fictitious battle. Wolves versus Foxes is one of the more intriguing ones. Mm. The Wolves win in that scenario. Bigger, stronger, faster. I'm hoping you've got a bit more analysis than I've just given. It's the odds 31-20 for Wolves, the draws 11-5, and Leicester, quite attractive price at 15-8.
So you've got me thinking now of just other clubs and what could beat things. Toffees, they're not going to beat many.
Yeah, it's not an animal either.
So?
Oh, you're thinking it could get stuck in the draw? I like it.
Cherries, stones.
Yeah. I liked the Owls versus the Lions. That was always a good one. Sheffield Wednesday versus Millwall. But we digress.
Wolves-Leicester then. No, I am looking forward to this game because you've got two sides who on their day are, well, they can beat anyone in the league, but both sides, we've seen that already this season. They've both had spells this season where they've looked fantastic. And I'd say through sort of November, December time, they both look really, really good. And since the turn of the year, they've been less good. Wolves are drawing a lot of games at the minute. Leicester haven't looked quite as formidable since Jamie Vardy missed a few games and he's come back and they still look okay and they've still had a fantastic season, but they're certainly less formidable than they were. And there's not much between these two sides. A point that's always made is that Wolves are a second half side. And that could be something to play on here. You can back Leicester to be leading at half time and not win. That's 9-1.
Yeah.
That's a big, big price for something that happens quite a lot of the time. I think, off the top of my head, I think Wolves have played 25 games. I think it was 14 times they've been behind at half time. So that's something to bear in mind in this game. I think of the two, I probably just prefer Wolves, but there really isn't much between it. The betting tells you that as well. I think it's difficult because Leicester are good on the break and Wolves don't do much going forwards normally. They normally will be looking to hit you on the counter-attack as well. So it could be a bit chess-like, this one.
There's some really interesting enhanced odds and loads of them. One of the ones that really stuck out to me was James Maddison to score from outside the penalty area. It was 11-1, now 14-1. He's one of 3 players who's had over 50 shots and created over 50 chances for his teammate. So you're going to get a go at that bet. And 14-1 for him to score from outside the penalty area is a big price, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It sounds like you're on the side of Wolves. Is it a big enough price for you?
I think so. I do like the Leicester to be leading at half-time and not win. I do think that's a really interesting angle in if you are looking for something a little bit different. Or you could just back Wolves to win the second half is also a fair play. But overall, I think Wolves probably just about edge it, yeah.
We're expecting goals in this game that opens up the Premier League weekend. I think both teams to score is a good enough price on its own backing in this one. What are you going for, Alex?
I think both teams score could be a player, but I'll leave goals out of it because I wouldn't be surprised at all if it is cagey. It's one of those games, it could be anything. They're both good going forward. They're both good at the back. It's what wins out on the day. Wolves are a second half side, so I'd be looking at something pro-Wolves, but I would factor in the fact that they could fall behind in this game. So it could be Leicester to be leading at half time and not go on to win. Could be Wolves to win the second half. Ultimately, I'm quite happy backing Wolves at the price that they are outright, but I would just be wary of the fact that they are sometimes slow starters. If they can get to the break level, I think Wolves will go on to score.
Wolves to win on Valentine's Day for Alex then.
Have you seen this?
Love it.
How did they get a box?
It's overrated up there.
But this Bill Gerrard's from William Hill is brilliant. 3 or more goals for us, 12 corners, 4 cards.
What, you can create your own bet?
Yeah, and you get instant odds.
At least we're warm.
Make it your bet. William Hill, build your odds.
Next up, two sides who can see the Premier League safety line away in the distance. It's Southampton versus Burnley. The price is 78 to 100 for the Saints. The draw is 13 to 5 and 15 to 4 for Burnley. A couple of interesting enhanced odds here around goal scorers. Danny Ings to score two or more is 5 to 1, enhanced from 15 to 4. And what about this one? Chris Wood to score first was 9 to 2, now 13 to 2. And he's got 3 in 5 recently, Alex. Interesting game. Betting looks a little lopsided. Two teams who will creep over the line, won't they, in terms of safety?
Probably, yeah. They've got identical records. Not only have they got the same amount of points, they've got the same record up to now, which is staggering when you factor in that Southampton are odds on here. They're not the best price. I think they will probably win, but they're not the best price. I want to start by talking about Danny Ings. You mentioned him there. Of course, he used to play for Burnley, coming up against his old club here. And he's had a fantastic season. Southampton have done a great job of keeping him fit. He's been fit throughout the season, and he's rewarded them with a lot of goals as well. And I remember sitting here with Dave earlier in the season and saying Southampton are one of the, if not the, worst side in the league. But fair play to them. Over the last two or three months, they've been much better. They used that 9-0 spanking against Leicester as the catalyst, really, to go on and improve. They went to Leicester and won 2-1 last month. That was a fantastic result. They are a side on the up. And Burnley are a team that it's quite hard to get right. I was with them a couple of weeks ago against Arsenal, and they did okay, getting a draw in that game. The issue is away from home, it's all or nothing for them, really. Neither side draws many games, even though this looks on paper like a draw could be a player. The fact that Burnley on the road, when they win to nil. So the question is, if you're looking for a pro Burnley bet here, can you see Burnley shutting Southampton out? I can't. So therefore, you have to be looking at something pro Southampton as far as I'm concerned.
When you look at these sides, I said they should creep over the line. They should both be safe, really.
Yeah.
You'd think the points they've got on the board already. Their inconsistency is obviously a negative. You want to be consistent, but it's also a positive in that, you know, they've both got wins over big teams in recent weeks. Man United and Spurs. So at any point, they could win any game in the division, maybe barring City and Liverpool.
Yeah.
So it's very hard to predict.
Yeah. Again, when I look at games, you start with who do I fancy, and then you look at the prices almost. And Southampton's price really doesn't do it for me here, but it's how to extract a bit of value from the game. Both teams have now failed to score in Burnley's last seven away games. So either Burnley have won to nil or they've lost to nil. That does make it pretty difficult here to put up a both teams to score bet. But I do think both teams will score in this game. I think this might be the exception to the rule. But we mentioned Danny Ings earlier as well. Just going on his price, you mentioned the enhanced odds that we have for him to score two or more, wasn't it? His anytime price is too short. His first price is too short. He's the most likely goal scorer in the game, but he's not you're not backing Messi here. You're not backing Cristiano Ronaldo. He's Danny Ings. He's very good, but at that kind of price, I want a guarantee that he'll score, and I'm not getting that with him in this game.
With Saints' home record being the worst in the league, I'm going to side with an away win here, but I think we're going to be at loggerheads, aren't we?
I think so. I think when it boils down to it, I'm not crazy about the Southampton price, but I just think they win this. The stats say that both teams to score is a no-no here, but I'm going against the stats for once. I think we will see both teams to score in this game in a Southampton win. And that's a good way of getting a bit more juice out of that Southampton price as well, because they are a little bit skinny, but they've just really impressed me in the last couple of months. And I think they'll win this. So I'm looking at something like Southampton 2-1, maybe 3-1. Southampton and both teams to score looks a safe play for me.
Southampton and BTTS for Alex then. Next up, we'll be speaking about Liverpool against Norwich. But before that, one of Liverpool's biggest fans, Derek McGovern's bit.
Someone this week described Arsenal's season as one step forward and two steps back. The perfect description of David Luiz's game whenever he plays, which in the eyes of most Arsenal fans is way too often. Can't be easy to sign a Brazilian international who doesn't know what he's doing, although Man United managed it with Cleverson. The pairing in the centre of the Arsenal defence of Mustafi and Luiz could be improved by pairing Thelma and Luiz. With Luiz and the team, Arsenal played 25 Premier League games this season and won 6. Southampton have won as many away. What price would Southampton, on the same number of points as Arsenal, be if they were playing at home to Newcastle this weekend? My guess is 11 to 10. Arsenal are 2 to 5. I'm not saying Newcastle are any great shakes, I'm not saying Newcastle are any ordinary shigs, but you'd have to be irredeemably useless for Arsenal to be long odds on to beat you, and Newcastle are definitely not that. Useless, yes, but not irredeemably so. I speak as someone who is. Newcastle are 15-2, but I'd suggest a cannier bet, given that the Toon are so allergic to goals, is 17-10 with a goal start. Like most people, I blame bankers for the grave financial mess most of us are in today. Not enough of them have won. But I have a Lulu of a banker for you this week. Southampton don't win too many at home and Burnley don't win too many away. The score is 3 apiece this season. The difference is that Southampton this weekend are 3-4, while their opponents Burnley are almost 4-1. That's a terrific bet in anybody's language, or an effing terrific bet if the language in question is profane.
Big thank you to Derek, as always, as acerbic, as always, as well. Let's move on to Norwich versus Liverpool. 55 points separate these two sides, the bottom and the top team. This is the earliest a game's been played in the season where there's been such a disparity in the points. It's finding value in this one that's going to be tricky. 9-1 Norwich, 5-1 the draw, and Liverpool a very short price, 27-100. Enhanced odds are around the goal scorers. Mohamed Salah to score two or more was 130, now 4-1. Firmino to score first was 9-2, now 11-2. All eight of Firmino's Premier League goals have been away from home, Alex. Your job here isn't always easy, is to find the value in a game where we expect Liverpool to win and win well.
Yeah, probably. Like you said, bottom against top, and this should be pretty straightforward, really, because Norwich could adrift at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Liverpool so far clear at the top. I was actually surprised. I thought Liverpool could be shorter than this.
I sense you've got a little bit of a...
I think Norwich are one of those maverick sides that, as a rule, will get beaten. Mm-hmm. Then I don't think they will beat Liverpool. No. But then there's just the odd... You saw them against Man City earlier in the season. They are a threat going forward. They can be. Yeah. So I think if Liverpool will try and shut Norwich out first and foremost and then go from there. And that's worked perfectly well for them so far this season. Liverpool's record against Norwich is absolutely stunning. The last eight head-to-heads in the Premier League between the pair. Liverpool have scored three or more on seven of those eight games. Luis Suarez used to turn up against Norwich and just destroy them. And he left and they just continued. I remember the game at Carrow Road a few seasons ago where Liverpool won 5-4. Earlier this season, 4-1. Liverpool score goals against Norwich. That's just the way that they go. Earlier on this season, these fixtures were the first games of the season. And Norwich went to Anfield and scored and actually got a lot of plaudits for the way that they played. They couldn't defend for Toffee, but they put up a fight. Mm-hmm. Things have changed a little since then. Liverpool have conceded one goal in their last 10 Premier League games. That is staggering. It's no surprise they're doing so well. Yeah. It's amazing that they got to the stage of the season before that run started and had only managed to draw one game because they were letting goals in that spell. Mm-hmm. Now they're not, and it's hard to break them down. Norwich will be looking to unlock that Liverpool defence, but it's so difficult to do so.
I think, and this is a bit of a stretch, Liverpool to win and both teams to score is a possibility here. Liverpool aren't conceding goals, but the goals they have conceded on the road, Villa, Palace, Wolves, Southampton. So the teams that aren't always the best teams, you know, Liverpool turn up to the top teams and really have a go. Bit of a stretch, but trying to find some value. What are you going for in this one?
Yeah, I take on board what you're saying there because Norwich going forward can pose a threat, but Liverpool's defence has just been so rock solid recently. I'll take the result out of it. It is hard to find value, and I'm going to focus on Roberto Firmino. He scores away from home. It's what he does. And he's a much bigger price than the big hitters, if you like. You look at the price of Salah and Mane, and week in, week out, Firmino is a bigger price. And he is again here. If you're feeling adventurous, taking to score two or more, I think we'll see a lot of goals in this game. Liverpool habitually score loads against Norwich. That could be the case again. So if you're feeling adventurous, Firmino two or more. If you want a safe bet, Firmino anytime.
Firmino anytime in a big Liverpool win for Alex then. Last week, Robbie Savage told us how the top of the table would finish come May. This week, he's going to tell us how the bottom six will finish.
After predicting the top of the Premier League last weekend on hashtag Sav Says, I wonder if I could predict the bottom seven in the Premier League. Can Statman Sav do it? Here goes, in 14th place on 37 points. It's Watford. They've only got to play five of the current top 10. 15th place. Crystal Palace, 36 points. They've got to play six of the top 10. 16th, Aston Villa, 35 points. They've got to play eight of the current top 10, though. In 17th place, staying up, it is Graham Potter's Brighton, 35 points. They've got to play six of the top 10. 18th in the relegation zone, it's West Ham, 34 points. They've got to play six of the top 10. 19th, Bournemouth, 33 points. They've got to play eight of the top 10. And in bottom place, 20th position, Norwich City, 29 points. They've got to play seven of the top 10. But last game of the season, it's massive. It's West Ham v Villa. I've predicted a draw. Whoever wins will stay up. Statman Sav.
Interesting stuff from Robbie there. I always get a bit worried for Robbie when he has to read that many stats out in one 60-second piece. Interesting how he's come to his conclusions, though. He did have Sheffield United to go down at the start of the season. He didn't mention that, did he?
No.
But yeah, look, this is a fascinating relegation picture because you've got those bottom three who look kind of marooned in a way, and they don't look like they've got any form about them. You can't make an argument to say that those three who are in those spots now are going to suddenly fly up the table. But then you've got the likes of, you know, Palace, for instance, who should creep over the line. They've got, you know, they've got points on the board, but, you know, unless they win the next, you know, maybe get 9 points out of the next four games, they could be in bother. Mm. You've got the likes of Bournemouth and Brighton who've got some really treacherous games to encounter. My issue is that because of the mediocrity of this division, that, like, you could say, like, you know, Robbie's saying, you know, so-and-so, you know, this five out of the top eight. And
yeah, yeah.
But I don't think you can count Arsenal and Manchester United, maybe even Chelsea, in that kind of bracket. You've really only got Liverpool and City, but City get beat. It's not like, you know, the rolling everyone over. So it's hard to kind of make those arguments now because anyone on any given day can beat anyone barring Liverpool and probably City.
Yeah, completely. Norwich are probably dead and buried just given the amount of points they have to make up.
Yeah.
Villa are a one-man team. That man is Jack Grealish. More on him a little later. They are not convincing as far as I'm concerned. West Ham are rank bad, but you always think with West Ham, they're going to get out of it eventually.
Yeah.
They have got a horrible run of fixtures coming up, and a lot will be made of that, and people will go, yeah, but everyone's got to play. Well, no, not everyone has to play the difficult sides. Yeah. They've already got them out of the way. West Ham are in a position where they could be, with six games to go, 6 points adrift. They could still get out of it then, but they're looking in danger. You've got to focus on teams who've already had their upsurge and still don't look great. So Watford, the fact that they're still down there despite the fact that things have improved, would be food for thought. I do think they'll get out of it because they've been better under Pearson.
Interesting.
Bournemouth won two in a row, then they lost at Sheffield United. That defeat was characteristically a side that will go down. Everything about it screamed trouble. I think Bournemouth could go. And Brighton are 4-1 to go down.
Big price.
They don't win many games. That's crucial. They play nice football. I wouldn't mind seeing them stay up. But as a betting proposition, they're a bit too big to ignore, given they don't win many games. And they probably need to win three or four now before the end of the season. Yeah. Maybe three. And they may be hard to come by. It's interesting. You've actually got candidates who, on paper, should go down. You mentioned Palace. Newcastle haven't been superb this season, but they'll probably just get away with it.
Yep.
If I had to nail my colours to the mast now, who's going to go down? I'd say it's going to be Norwich, Brighton, and Bournemouth.
Okay.
West Ham to get out of it very late. Villa to survive. But I don't know how Villa are going to... This is the thing.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Whoever stays up will be quite lucky. Whoever's in 17th or 16th will have got away with it this season, I think. There are teams who, in every other season, probably would have gone down.
Yeah, I think that 4-1 Brighton is a really interesting bet. This game, Villa versus Spurs, and we'll talk about Villa kind of in a relegation context, in bother. The manager's face looks a little bit concerned. 3-1 to win this game, 14-5 the price for the draw, and Tottenham are 17-20 enhanced odds. Son is 11-2 to score first, was 9-2, and Jack Grealish to score any time was 5-2, now 7-2. The subject of the stat here, 8 goals and 6 assists for Villa this season. His face would kind of upturn if he was thinking about Jack Grealish, I'm sure, the manager, because he is the star of the show. And, you know, if they go down, obviously he'll still be in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's so easy to say, oh, one-man team. People do it with Palace and Zaha. But it's right, it's true. When they're not in the team, they are pretty average. And Yeah, Grealish is just a superb player. Earlier on this season, when Villa came up and a lot of Villa fans were saying, he's incredible, he's this, he's that, I thought, is he that good? But he really is. He's a top, top quality player. I initially looked at the betting for this game and was quite tempted by Spurs. They're getting dangerously close to even money. But Spurs away from home are not the most dependable. And of course, there's no Harry Kane.
Yeah.
That said, I like what Spurs have going forward at the minute. Son, Lucas Moura, Ali, Bergwijn, who's come in, looks a danger. All are threats. And that's going to be difficult for Villa to pick up each and every single one of those at all times. I think we could see a lot of goals in this game. You mentioned Grealish. We've got the enhanced price on him to score any time. I was quite tempted by him at 5-2 any time. 7-2 enhanced any time is a stunning bet. I love the price of it. I think, well, I'm going to nap it, spoiler alert, later on in this. I think it's a fantastic price. So I do think Grealish is the main man, and at that enhanced price, you can't ignore it. Whether Villa win or not, I would doubt, but I think we'll see goals.
Spurs away record hasn't been clever all season long. Since Mourinho came in, 1-2, drawn 2, lost 2. I'm going for the draw here, Alex. What's your favourite bet in Villa versus Spurs?
I think if I was betting outright, I'd be looking at Spurs, but they're not a particularly tempting price. I think goals is a massive play in the game. I think you've got goal scorers for both sides. Well, one main man for Villa, we'll get to him in a second. But Son and Bergwijn for Spurs have to be noted. I think they will be real threats here, and I wouldn't be surprised if they score. But at the price, Jack Grealish anytime is going to be the play for me here. I just think he is the only man that can do anything for Villa. I can see Villa scoring here. Spurs may well outscore them, but Grealish anytime would be the pick.
Interesting bet. Jack Grealish anytime for Alex.
Have you got anything on this?
Yeah, I just need these guys to come through my Acker. Let me split chat soon.
Tell him he's a mug.
Yeah, you are, to be fair.
Good luck.
You think it's going to apply, yeah?
I wouldn't bet on it.
Arsenal Newcastle next up then. Arsenal 42-100. The draw 7-2. Newcastle 7-1. Earlier in the show, Alex, we previewed Southampton Burnley. Both stuck on 31 points. Mm. These two teams are both stuck on 31 points. Massive difference in odds. Southampton were odds on. Burnley were an attractive price. Arsenal are very odds on, and Newcastle are a very attractive price. There's a couple of enhanced odds. The one that I like at most is Lacazette to score first, enhanced from 7-2 to 4-1. 25 of his 32 goals in the Premier League have come at home, so a real home bird. What about the game? We all know you're a Newcastle fan, so you have a bit of a bias and a bit of a kind of a more of an analytical look at these games. You must be tempted by that price on Newcastle.
No. Because...
Because you've seen them week in, week out.
I would be surprised if Newcastle score in the game.
Okay, right.
I remain hopeful. Mm-hmm. I would love to be wrong.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But Newcastle's record against Arsenal is shocking.
Yeah, yeah.
Full stop, let alone away from home. And I just find it really difficult to look elsewhere here. I spend most weeks on this podcast looking to take Arsenal on. But I just think that this game just seems fairly straightforward for me. I don't think Arsenal will blow Newcastle away. The way that Newcastle set up, as we know, is defensive. They defend and they hope for something on the counter-attack. And Arsenal's defence gives you hope that something could happen on the counter-attack. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see it. You look at the recent head-to-heads at the Emirates, and it has been a constant theme of Arsenal win, and they win to nil. And I think it'll happen again here. I'd like nothing more than to be wrong, but I just can't see it. The first game of the season between Newcastle and Arsenal, Arsenal won 1-0 at St James's, which again backs up that theory that this will be low-scoring home win. Arsenal were poor in that game, but Newcastle were shambolic. It's improved a little bit for Steve Bruce since then. But for all that Newcastle have it in them to cause the upset, we saw it at Spurs earlier on in the season, I just think... I take on board what you're saying, but I think Arsenal will win this.
Arsenal can't stop drawing games, although the form has improved. Newcastle's price is massive. I can't get away from that. I'm looking at Newcastle plus a goal. What's your take on the game?
I would love Newcastle to do something in the game. I just can't see it. Normally, I will try and take Arsenal on when they're this kind of price, but this time around, being a realist, I think Arsenal will probably win. But I think it'll be low scoring. Recent head-to-heads between the pair, at the Emirates in particular, have been low scoring. I think Newcastle will struggle to get on the score sheet. I'd love to be proven wrong, but I just can't see it. So the outright pick for me will be under 2.5 goals in the match. I do think it'll be low scoring. It's a nice enough price. And I think Arsenal will win this 1-0 or 2-0, quite simply.
Arsenal win and under 2.5 goals for Alex.
One more game to preview in the Premier League this week then. Chelsea versus Manchester United on the way shortly. But before we get into that, have you heard about William Hill's Bet Boost yet? If you're putting together an acca this weekend that features three or more teams, then you can get a bigger prize with a Bet Boost. Simply log into your account, put your selections in your bet slip and hit Boost to get that bigger prize. Best of luck.
Remember when this was the fixture in the Premier League, Chelsea versus Manchester United. Alex, we were talking in the week about that Moscow Champions League final, and suddenly this, you know, I know Chelsea doing really well and probably, you know, in pole position to get a Champions League spot this year, but kind of like also runs when you look at kind of Liverpool and Man City. The betting has Chelsea as 5-6 favourites, the draw's 27-10, and Manchester United are 100-30. Man United have got the worst points haul, apart from Palace, in the division since the start of the new year. I mean, you've got no confidence. Man United at 130, you should be going, interesting, they've got players. But for me, I can't think that. What's your take on the game?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's interesting, you said Chelsea, obviously these aren't the level that they used to be. You said Chelsea are still doing really well, but they did win the league, what, 3-4 years ago, whatever it was? Yeah, I mean, it's...
The fall's been so dramatic.
Yeah. Originally, if you offered me Chelsea at 5-6, and I would be looking elsewhere. But again, I just think they'll win this. I don't like Man U without Rashford. He makes them tick. He makes them be a force to be reckoned with. And I know that they do have a little bit more with Fernandes coming in now to maybe offer going forward. But I just think Chelsea will win this and win it a little bit comfortably as well, to be honest. Both teams to score is interesting because it's only landed in 3 of Man U's last 16 games in all competitions. Now, I know they've won a few of those games to nil. They've also lost a few games to nil. That is a remarkable stat because you would associate Man U games with being fairly free-flowing, but quite the opposite. And again, I just keep coming back to Chelsea. Now, whether you want to back Chelsea to win to nil or not, that may be a little bit extreme, but it may end up being my pick here. I just can't see Man U going there and causing more problems than Chelsea will cause United, if that makes sense.
The screen you can see here, this is a fantastic example of us liking the headline and then fitting a stat around it. I mean, the 11th time in the top flight history that Chelsea and Man U are meeting on a Monday, the Blues have won none of the previous 10. You can't use that to bet on. It's dangerous because it's all different teams, all different managers, but it's a great headline. So thanks to Sam Norris for the headline. If you're still listening on the podcast, you really should be tuning in on YouTube to watch these fantastic screens. The interesting thing for me here is that, you know, the Man United just aren't scoring goals at the moment. Mm. 3 games in a row where they haven't scored a goal in the Premier League. So, you know, if that happens again, then it'll be the first time in absolutely years they haven't scored in 4 in a row. They're not just going to create goals from nowhere now. So you'd have to be thinking Chelsea will outscore them at the very least.
Well, Chelsea going forward are dangerous, and I'd fancy Chelsea to score against anybody. The danger is that Chelsea defensively this season have looked a little porous at times, and that could lead you to think, well, if Man U can get ahead, then maybe they can, you know, scrap their way to a win. But I just think you'll see Chelsea. I don't even want to say Chelsea outscoring Man U because I think Man U will struggle going forward. So it seems fairly straightforward as far as I'm concerned.
Manchester United have had a real problem scoring goals of late. I don't think that will change dramatically, and I think Chelsea can outscore them. Home win for me, Alex. What's your thoughts on the Monday night game?
Yeah, I think home win as well. And you mentioned Man U's issues in front of goal. I think Chelsea could win to nil as well, which I know a lot of people think, well, could Man U go there and nick a goal even in a 3-1 defeat? They could. Very similar price to Chelsea win to nil is Chelsea minus a goal on the handicap. So by all means, whichever one you fancy, go with. Of the two, I do prefer the win to nil because you've got 1-0 on your side, and I think that could be a player in this game. But I think Chelsea will win. They'll win fairly comfortably. Minus a goal is an option. Win to nil, the best bet for me.
Win to nil then for Chelsea at home to Manchester United. Monday night football. Next up, we're going to hear from the guys who pick out the best bets in the Football League. Al Ross is leading the Naps table. We'll look at that in a few minutes. He's got a pick in League Two. Gav goes for League One. And we'll start with Pete Farries in the Championship with a biggie.
In all my years of putting up Naps, I don't think I've put up anything close to a 5-1. And I guess I still haven't, because this week's Nap is 8-1. It's Bristol City to win at Leeds. This price is insane for me. Bristol City have been brilliant on the road, won their last three without conceding, and are taking on a Leeds side who've won just once since the turn of the year. Bristol City are proper playoff contenders, and they're taking on a side who've got absolutely no confidence at a ground where the fans are beginning to panic. That price is massive. Bristol City at 8-1.
My Nap in League One is a tried and tested formula. It's Rotherham to win at home to Wimbledon. Rotherham on the outrights at home are very short, so let's boost the price as standard by going for goals. Rotherham at home are often scoring 2s, 3s and 4s, and Wimbledon away from home, they're scoring goals but conceding more, which is good news. 4 of their last 5 away games have been over 2.5 goals, and the last time these teams met, it was over 2.5 goals. That is the Nap. Simple. Rotherham to win on over 2.5 goals at 21-20.
Under 2.5 goals when Alderman Forest Green meet is odds on, even though overs has landed in all the Forest Green's last 7. 30 goals in those 7, that's almost 4.5 a match. And over 2.5 has also landed in all of Oldham's last 4. Oldham's 5-1 away defeat last week only came after a sending off while 1-1, and it's one of only 2 defeats since January the 4th. I've also got 7 points from the last possible 9 at home. I don't know why unders on the goals is favourite. I don't know why Forest Green are favourite, given they've lost 5 of 6. Oldham and 4 or more goals is 15-2.
Wow, some big bets in the Football League then. Al Ross sitting pretty at the top there on £141, goes for Oldham win and 4 or more goals in the game. If he lands that, he's like Liverpool. It's done. We hand him the trophy now. We say, well, you're all fighting for the other places. DK, Wolves, Leicester, both teams to score. Picked by Sam Norris. Let's be upfront about this. DK skiing somewhere in Austria. Gav P, Rotherham winning over 2.5 goals, sitting down there, just under £60. What about Pete's Nap? Mm. Bristol City win at least 8-1.
Quite tempting.
I mean, it's not a bad bet, is it? And if he wins that one there, it puts him right into contention. What about these two in the red? What were we saying about these two?
Pair of jokers, really. I've actually changed mine, haven't I? Because I originally had under 2.5 in Arsenal Newcastle, and then I thought, well, I need some.
I need something
to go for something bigger. To be fair, that was before I saw the enhanced price on Grealish, which I'm taking for Nap purposes, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, none of that 5-2. I'm taking
7-2
for Grealish anytime. It's way too big to ignore.
Mm.
So that has to be a really confident pick. And Derek with Burnley.
You remind me a little bit of Norwich in that you're struggling down the bottom of the table, but you won't change your ethos. They keep playing the same way when they should be changing. You keep putting in, this is a big one for you. This is a big price. Normally you're around the kind of, you know, the even money mark, maybe a little bit more than that. Are you going to go big at some point here? Are you going to go for the 8-1?
Quite possibly.
I can't wait for that to happen. When you just start launching it.
It will happen eventually. It's quite hard in the Premier League though, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it will end up in the last couple of weeks of the season. I'll just have to take Liverpool on because they're the only things that will be a big enough price. But like Norwich, delicious pies at my house. I don't have Delia making them, though, unfortunately.
Thanks very much for listening or watching. Thanks very much, Alex.
Thank you.
All the guys involved in providing us with the bets this week. We're back next week, of course. Don't forget, Build Your Odds is available on the website. And please, please, please use your bet boosts. Make sure you're logged in. And if you have an acca of a treble or bigger, you can use your bet boost on the William Hill website or on the app. More to come next week. Whatever you're having a bet on this weekend, best of luck.